Jeffrey Solomon is here to talk about his play, The Santa Closet, and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
I'm very good. Having fun rehearsing The Santa Closet and playing 18 characters and counting.
Tell us about The Santa Closet.
This play has a long and interesting history. Back in, actually, the year 2000, I was busy touring the country with my solo play, Mother Son, which is a fictionalization, but is very much inspired by my coming out journey with my mom and her long journey towards acceptance. And the play took on an educational life. It's not one I planned, but we began to be invited into high schools and colleges to talk about LGBTQ issues. And that was just wonderful. But at the same time, I became very much aware of the backlash to trying to have these conversations with kids. And, you know, organizations, so-called parents' rights organizations, were springing up around the country, you know, really railing against the idea that anyone would dare discuss or acknowledge the existence of LGBTQ people in the classroom. And as a gay kid myself, now a gay adult, but I was a gay child, the invisibility of the topic of queer people caused so much shame. And I felt really strongly that we should be talking to kids, acknowledging the existence of LGBT people as early as possible. And I started interviewing like teachers who had come out and the communities where there had been enormous backlash, like elementary school teachers, let's say a second grade teacher in Newton, Massachusetts came out, another one came out in Connecticut, just by being honest, just by answering kids' questions. And that was seen as somehow some kind of agenda, the gay agenda, to promote, to normalize this behavior. And at the time, out in Orange, California, a young man tried to start a GSA and in his school, and a group sprung up in response called Parents' Rights USA. And that school held, you know, the school board meetings, and then they eventually canceled all student clubs rather than let, you know, the GSA meet. This also, of course, happened in Utah. So I got in touch with the woman who runs the organization Parents' Rights USA. I posed as a grad student who was doing his thesis on the effect of social movements on the schools. And we sat together in a diner, and she talked to me for 4 hours. And the thing that stuck out is, like, when she was not busy fighting the LGBT movement, her day job was creating children's programming on cable. And she was working on a Santa Claus special. And then suddenly I got really angry. I'm like, why do you get to talk about Santa Claus? Like, why are you wholesome and I'm not? And she just got me thinking about Santa Claus. And I am Jewish, but from the time I could speak, I was obsessed with Santa Claus. I was an absolute Santa Claus freak. I just loved this story that there was this benevolent presence who was just going to give me gifts. I loved all of it, the Christmas specials. I was just completely obsessed. So she was the one who got me, like, going on this story, you know, and positing, imagining, like, what would happen if Santa, who's just about the biggest influence on young children, you know, kids have great esteem for Santa, what would happen if it turned out that Mrs. Claus was a beard, a character actress hired by Coca-Cola to protect the Claus brand, how would the world react? So that was really the premise that got the whole thing started.
What do you hope to accomplish with this play?
Well, first and foremost, it's super funny. And so I want people just to come in and laugh. And it also has the Christmas magic. You know, it is warm-hearted. People are moved by the play. So I just want to give a holiday treat, a little confection to anyone who comes in. But I suppose, on a bigger level, I would really like to continue this conversation about the necessity of creating visible role models, LGBTQ role models for young children. In many ways, there's been huge progress since I started this project in terms of, like, media representation. And I guess you're beginning to see, like, little glimmers, you know, of on animated shows, maybe like someone's uncle, a rat uncle or something will come out. But it's still, in much of the world and in much of the country, for young children, this is still understood as an inappropriate conversation. And I experienced it just now in our rehearsal process, because there's a very moving section near the end of the play, after Santa comes out and the world goes apeshit, where kids send Santa letters, you know, first of all, to say, like, we still love you and need you. And second of all, to ask their questions that adults are too scared to answer about LGBTQ issues and lives. And it was very disheartening to find there were some folks who were not comfortable asking their children, you know, very benign questions, or rather recording their kids asking Santa very benign questions that just acknowledge the existence of LGBTQ people. There was still like this gut feeling like, oh, it's not something I can talk to my kids about. So, but we've been collecting those recordings anyways and, you know, have some wonderful ones. But it was a real reminder. When I was doing this play in Provincetown, I was out on the street dressed as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I had a big sign that said, you know, Santa Claus is coming out, the title. And this couple, a straight couple and their kid, they stopped to ask for directions on Commercial Street, and I was giving them directions, and then the kids started looking at the picture, the poster, and the title, Santa Claus is coming out, and then the mom just clamped her eyes shut over the kid's eyes. So he couldn't see, and there would be no further discussion. So I guess the play is really challenging these sacred assumptions. One myth is Santa Claus. That's a big one. And I'm not trying to ruin Santa Claus for everyone. But the other one is that there are no LGBTQ people and that it's not an appropriate conversation for kids.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
I am very jazzed by work that is both highly entertaining and has a second life, not just in the theater, but is embraced by communities as a tool to talk about issues. So my play, Mother Son, about my mom's coming out, it's been all over the world. LGBT rights groups in India and Sri Lanka have presented the play. I got to go there and as a tool to get folks talking about these issues. My work with Houses on the Moon explores immigration. We've done that at law schools all over the country as a training tool on undocumented youth issues and also LGBTQ-related asylum. I'm really jazzed when I can create something that has a rich life in the theater and also can be of service in some way out in the community.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration, especially heading into the 2020 election?
Oh, boy. Wow, that's a big one. I feel like one of the ways the play has changed is it's become much more cognizant on the shifting understanding and visibility of trans people and the discussion around gender identity and how deeply connected this struggle is to the gay struggle. And so I really think that we, you know, together, united we stand. You know, it's all about embracing each other's struggles. I can't advocate for myself as a gay man and not care about the vicious conversations going on about restrooms around the country. I think that's also the key to victory, that we leave no one behind. And please, I don't want to hear about a single LGBTQ person not voting. Get your ass to the polls.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
For me, I would have to flip that. As someone who's now middle-aged, that the LGBTQ teens must give the advice to us that they are fearless, brave, and just getting out there and having those fights, having these discussions. And we have so much to learn from people who are younger than us.
How can people get information about you and the Santa Closet?
Please visit the Houses on the Moon website, www.housesonthemoon.org, and you can get plenty of information about me, about Houses on the Moon Theater Company, and our production of The Santa Closet.
What other projects are you working on?
I did a wonderful cross-cultural storytelling project with a colleague in India this past spring called the Q Story Stream, which was also presented under the Houses on the Moon umbrella. And basically there were two queer storytelling cohorts, one in Los Angeles, where I am now living, and one in Mumbai, India. And we sort of batted stories back and forth across the globe using video chat technology and inspired each other and responded to each other's stories and helped nurture each other's stories. And then we presented performances in both Los Angeles and Mumbai, India, that combined live storytelling with recorded stories from the other country, and then a group chat, again facilitated through video chat technology, and it was extraordinary. It was wonderful, and it's something we are hoping to take to the next level in the next year by reconvening, reaching bigger audiences, adding families of LGBTQ folks, and also hopefully bringing in different nations to this global conversation through story.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Yes. Jeffrey Solomon, how do I get tickets to the Santa Closet? Well, I would visit www.housesonthemoon.org right now and grab your tickets for this wonderful holiday show. We are running at Teatro Circolo in the East Village from December 4th to December 22nd. So you have approximately 21 or 22 opportunities to see the show.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra, to get you through difficult times?
Yeah, like, oi, oi, vey. Acknowledge the struggle, oi. I stole that one from Sid, who's a character in The Santa Closet. He's Santa Claus's agent. Loosely inspired by my grandfather. You know, I'm not wildly optimistic, but there's value in acknowledging hard times, which is kind of the journey that we follow in the play The Santa Closet. We do follow the family's journey. They have a very atypical, gender-atypical child, and his gift requests scare them. They don't know who he's going to be or how he's going to turn out, and the conversation is terrifying to them. And just having those conversations, acknowledging the discomfort, makes it possible. I am in awe and inspired by these conversations that people are having, and especially young people are having with, you know, with their families and with the society around sexuality and gender. It can be hard to have hope for the future in the political terrain that we're seeing, but the young people and their fierce willingness to engage in conversations around diversity, sexuality, gender, race, makes me very hopeful.